When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAPS sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons, from tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond. Every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get 2 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store or Lowe's.com for more details.
Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of F1 Nation, reacting to the news that Max Verstappen has signed a new deal with Red Bull Racing. Max has agreed a 2-year contract extension, which will see him remain with the team until the end of 2030 at least. I'm Tom Clarkson, and F1 correspondent Lawrence Barreto is with me, not only in the Zandvoort paddock, but we are here in the heart of the Red Bull Energy Station. We'll get your thoughts in a moment, Lawrence, but first, let's hear from the man himself on why he's decided to stay with Red Bull long term.
For me, this feels like one big family, you know, so I'm just very, you know, happy to be a part of that. And of course, over the last few months, you know, you talk about the team moving forward, the coming years, plans, ideas. So it's always been, yeah, communicated to me in a very open way. And that's what I like. And I like what they're trying to achieve. And that's why I also, you know, want to be part of it in the future. I always said already back in the day when Dietrich was still alive, I said to him my goal and target would be, of course, to race for Red Bull forever. So we're on the good way.
So there you go. Lawrence, tell us a bit more about the deal and why you think Max has committed his future to Red Bull.
Well, it was the biggest willy, won't he, that we've had in the driver market for, what, 18 months or so. It's all been about what Max is going to do. And I think he assessed the market. We heard that he talked to McLaren and saw what was there and knew that the door was shut on Mercedes and Ferrari. So I guess what it really came down to is whether or not he believed in the Red Bull project or whether he didn't want to stay in Formula One altogether. I think that's really what the decision-making process was for him. And I think Laurent Mekies has spent a lot of time with him to explain his vision, his strategy to get this team back up to world championship winning capacity. And I think he's convinced Max that this is the place to be. And I think what is clear is that Max believes in that because he had 2 years running on the deal originally up to the end of 2028. The fact that he's added an extra 2 years, so that will take him to 15 years with Red Bull. No other driver has ever stayed at the same team for that long. I think Lewis Hamilton was at Mercedes for 12. And I think that is a pure commitment for Max that Red Bull are not in the place that they want to be, but they can get to the place they want to be within that cycle and get him back to winning races. And I think he truly believes that. And I think that's why he's put pen to paper, not just on a new deal, but this significant deal, which is to the end of 2030.
And how important is it to Red Bull? Do you feel that he's now the foundation on which they can rebuild the team effectively? Because a lot of people have left over the last couple of years.
Oh, I think he is the most important piece of this Red Bull puzzle. And I know we often say, you know, that the drivers are important because they go get the results. But I think Max is so much more than a driver. He obviously goes and gets the job done when he's out on track. But I think the influence he has within this team, from senior management level down to everyone else who's working tooth and nail to get this car to go fast, I think he's got a massive influence there. And I think by getting Max to commit and believe in that project, they will all believe that this project can get back to the front. The sponsors will. Commercially, it will be good. I think Laurent Mekies can then believe that he's got to not worry about that anymore and can focus on giving Max the best car. It kind of puts the control back in Red Bull's hands because they know now that Max believes in what they want to do and he's now just got to go and do it. At least Laurent can kind of control that aspect of it. And I think it was getting a bit tiresome, frankly, that we were kind of going from one race to another, not knowing whether or not Max was going to commit and would he just commit for 27 and then would he commit for 28. And I think to get a 4-year deal And there will always be clauses that you can get out of contracts because that's how Formula One works these days. But I think to get that firm commitment and hear Max talk about this feels like his second family, to get him talking about that future, I think will be super important to Red Bull because, like you said, they lost a lot of staff over the last couple of years. Big names have gone, but they've managed to keep what many feel are the best driver in Formula One. And that was no small challenge. So I think that might be the fire in the belly that this team needs to get things going again. And they might have a number of people who want to join this team who were thinking, I don't know if I want to join if Max isn't going to be here. Maybe they can kind of activate that kind of thing. They might activate renewals on the good people who are already here as well. So I think it puts Red Bull in a really good space now. And I think it's the longevity of the deal. I think the fact that there's four more years, that is the most significant, rather than Max just saying, I'm going to stay.
Were you surprised by the 4 years?
No, I wasn't surprised because I think in the sense that I think he had a decision to make. Does he stay or does he go from Formula One completely? And I think if he was going to stay, I've only ever known Max to be all in. So I think for him, and he knew how big a project this is has become now, because Red Bull are the fourth fastest team at the minute, I think he knew it was going to take time. He's a realist and he understands what it takes to win in Formula One. He's been through a cycle of it already before. And I think the commitment made sense to him because it will get all the right cogs working. As I said, that doesn't mean that he can't leave at some stage if it doesn't work in the next year, two, three. But I think for now, that at least allows him to put his full focus on this project. And let's not forget, over at McLaren, they're pretty locked out anyway. And Mercedes, they locked out quite early to activate the clauses in George and Kimi's contract. So they were settled at least for next year, probably for the foreseeable. And Ferrari looked locked out too. So unless another team comes into the mix, where else was he going to go? And I also think there's a lot to be said about like being in the right environment to bring the very best out of you. And this team give Max everything he could ever want. They let him go race whatever he wants to race outside Formula One. They probably let him turn up whatever time he wants to turn up. They let him do what he wants to do because they believe and they can see that he is the best and will give everything to deliver. And I just don't think you can guarantee that at any other team. And I think the belief that he's got in Laurent is critical. And I think that is why he's decided to commit to Red Bull.
Now, one of his quotes today, he's given a lot of press conferences, was, I was more likely to stop Formula One than go to another team, right? So it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Those conversations with McLaren, those conversations with Mercedes. Was it all a negotiation or do you think he was serious about those teams?
I think he's pragmatic in that I think he knows that Mercedes were chasing him at some point last year. And so I think it made sense at the point in which there was an option there to explore it. But as obviously time has gone on, and particularly with the McLaren negotiations where they're already locked out with Lando and Oscar anyway, that one does feel more like they were using it as a negotiation tactic with Red Bull, that he'd already decided that if he was going to stay, it's going to be with Red Bull. So he may as well try and get himself the best deal. But that's just smart business. And I think there would be no driver in this paddock who wouldn't try to do that if they could do that. Max knew that he had the leverage. You know, even when the car isn't performing, he's pulling results out that he shouldn't have done. You know, if results had gone his way, he could have had 6 podiums in the last 7, you know, if you kind of work it out. That's a phenomenal, like, record that he would have had in a car that probably didn't deserve most of those results. So I think that from that perspective, Max knows what he's worth. And he knows that he loves racing in Formula One. He knows that he loves winning. And I think he's just trying to be pragmatic. And he's built up so much experience, I think, in Formula One over the years. And I think his brain about how the mechanisms work politically on the business side, racing wise, he understands how it's all working. So he'd have taken that all into account when he decided that actually, you know, staying at Red Bull still for me is the best case scenario.
Well, and it's a vote of confidence in the sport.
Absolutely.
Go back to Japan. Do you remember after the Japanese Grand Prix this year, he was full of, I don't know if I want to carry on, you know, perhaps spend more time with my family. No, I'm not only going to fulfill the original contract, I'm staying for 4.
And I also think that I'm pretty sure there's no rush that will ever match a rush of winning a Grand Prix and a Formula One World Championship. I think he'll get highs, you know, going off and doing the endurance racing that he's doing. I do think that. But I think when you have to come to that, you know, the edge of the cliff, and you have to decide whether or not you want to leave the sport or not, you think slightly differently. And I think letting go of this sport that has been his life for so long now, and probably is what the majority of his life, really. I think to let go of all of that, he would have thought, right, okay, well, let's just think about this. Red Bull have got this plan in place to what we're going to do. Laurent's got this ship kind of sailing in the right direction again. I can see like what the strategy is, whether or not that's people coming in, facilities improving, whatever that is. And they didn't talk about that today, as you wouldn't expect them to do. I think he's seen all of that. He's put all those pieces together, and that's kind of helped him make that decision. I think that is great for Formula One. Fernando Alonso was asked in the TV pen, is it a good thing that Max is saying? And he was like, yeah, it's super important because you want the best competed in Formula One. And I think for Max to then commit to the sport is great for Red Bull, and it's great for us, I think.
George Russell made a good point in the press conference today. He was asked about it, and he said, Max doing all this other racing, the 24 hours of Nürburgring earlier in the year, he said, I can see he loves it. But I think going and doing that also makes you appreciate what Formula One is. Just the level that Formula One is at. So, you know, by Red Bull giving him a bit of head to go and do all that kind of stuff, they've actually, I think, helped in their negotiations to get him to recommit.
And it's smart because there's not a lot of teams that would allow their drivers to do the kind of thing or the kind of programs that Max is able to do. He's got his own driver development program, hasn't he? He's got his own team. Like, I think he's afforded that, but he doesn't take advantage of it because obviously he comes to a racetrack every race weekend and delivers exactly what you'd expect out of Max Verstappen. So, but I think you're right, Tom. You make a good point, and George makes a good point that I think Red Bull have played the game as well as they could in trying to create the best circumstances to make Max want to stay.
You know how in the 50s, Stirling Moss was called Mr. Motor Racing? I think in the 2020s, that's definitely Max Verstappen now, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. He would, without doubt, race every single race weekend if he could. I'm pretty sure he's in the sim every day anyway back home. So yeah, he really is the modern 2.0, Stirling Moss 2.0, isn't he?
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAP sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons, from tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond. Every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
What does this mean for the wider driver market? Because we've all been waiting for this piece in the puzzle, haven't we? Now we know what's happening at Red Bull. What does it mean for the wider paddock?
Well, I think there were a number of drivers in this paddock who would have wanted to wait just in case there was an opportunity at Red Bull before committing to where they were going to go. Now, I know we saw before the weekend, Carlos Sainz committed to Williams on a multi-year deal. He would have been one of a number of drivers who would have just kind of wanted to wait to see whether or not Red Bull were going to have an opportunity for him. But obviously that door shut and he signed for Williams. And I think that will start a domino effect for the rest of the market now, because I think that was the last top seat really that was available at the moment based on current performance, because obviously the second Red Bull seat is almost certainly going to go to a Hadjar, providing he does a good job, or another Red Bull family driver. So I think in theory it should unlock the rest of the market. The next key is probably Fernando Alonso, Tom, I think, and whether or not he's going to stay at Aston Martin. Not that he was waiting for the Red Bull seat, but I think he's the next big player, because I think the Aston Martin seat is still quite an attractive seat, even though they've had such a tough year. And then there's a number of, you know, Audi, you've got Nico Hülkenberg, Gabriel Bortoleto. They've not announced what they're going to do, but I think there's certain other teams that can start solidifying what they fancy for the future.
Carlos re-signing with Williams feels like a slightly smaller version of Max re-signing with Red Bull, in that Williams are a team that really needed a driver like him to commit, to give the assurances not only to everyone who's currently in the team, but in, you know, when they're trying to shop around and get people to join Williams, you need a name like Carlos, don't you?
He's that perfect example, I think. They were so desperate to keep him. I think can say that he was desperate because of the job that he's done since he got there. And that's not to put down the job that Alex Albon's done, but if we focus on what Carlos has achieved, you can see the way he's galvanised them, the way the engineers love the way he feeds back. That was his strength at Ferrari. They always loved that aspect of it. And I think for James Fowles, obviously this year has been a bit of a disaster. they've P5 in the constructors last year. They should have stepped on and they haven't. For him to be able to convince Carlos, who's highly rated, very well respected, and of interest to many teams in this paddock, and convince him not to sign 1 year, but sign a new deal, which is multi-year, is significant. I think it shows from Carlos's side that he still believes in the vision, that he believes that they can recover from next year, and he believes in the wider project as well and the backing that Dalton Capital, the owners, are given. But I think for James, it shows that, okay, he's got two more years now to kind of get this project in shape. It buys him a bit more time effectively to kind of get it going. And clearly, with Alex signing as well, they believe that there is potential in this team. They saw enough last year to believe that this year's just a blip and they can get it going again in 27 and get it back on the path. They were limited, in fairness, to the options that they had available to them. Most likely they would have had other midfield options, I think. And I guess what's the point in doing a sideways step when you know that your boss likes you, you know the engineers, and like we were talking with Max earlier, you know the engineers like you, you get on really well with them, you're on first name terms with them, everyone knows how you drive, you know, there's no new learning. I think there is kind of one more chance, really, isn't it, to try and get this project going. And there really is, I've talked to people inside that team, there is real belief that they're going to get things going again in 27, and this was
I agree with you on that point in terms of getting things going again, but I still think it's remarkable how well the cards have fallen for James Vowles, because when he was putting the team together, do you remember he told us on this podcast actually how he thought he had the best driver lineup in Formula One in Carlos and Alex, and despite all the problems of 2026, he's managed to retain both of those guys, despite everything that's gone on this year. So there really must be. I think my conclusion is that there really must be some positive things coming for next year and 28.
I think it says a lot about the driver's belief in the engineers, the mechanics, the people that they got working with them. It shows a lot of belief in what's coming. Obviously, I think Piers Thin started this week in the factory, going to knock that into shape, and that's what they really need. They've got some others joining as well in the future, and I think there's even more coming as well. So I think when Alex and Carlos look at that, they can see real potential going forward, and providing they don't have those same production delays and they kind of get the design a little bit better next year, I think they'll be in a good spot. And I think that way they over delivered actually last year probably helped James in a way, because I think it showed Alex and Carlos that even when it's not so good, they can kind of develop their way out of it. So even if there was a blip this year, they've seen firsthand what this team is capable of doing. So I think that has helped him out, but I'm not sure how many chances he'll get. So I think he's hopeful that, you know, 27 will be better and this is the start of something special.
Okay, now look, that's us discussing all the longer term deals in Formula One. Final topic, Lawrence, this weekend, specifically for Zandvoort, we've got changes. Isaac Hadjar is missing the Dutch Grand Prix due to a wrist injury. So Liam Lawson is taking his place at Red Bull Racing, with Yuki Tsunoda replacing Lawson in the Racing Bulls. Now, how big an opportunity is it for both of those guys?
I mean, it's a tough opportunity, because to be parachuted in at a moment's notice, Yuki only found out when he was on the beach in Greece 36 hours into his holiday a couple of days ago. Liam found out as he was getting off the plane off holiday. And so I think to make this kind of change, even though you're within the Red Bull family, it's huge. For Liam, I think what bodes well is that he's been on such a great run of form. On the mental side of things, he's so much stronger after obviously getting demoted from the Red Bull seat after just two races last year. So I think that helps. But to go into a new team on a sprint weekend with just one practice session, it's going to be really hard for him to kind of show what I think he knows he's now capable of achieving. I think on the other side, for Yuki, it's even tougher because he hasn't even driven a 2026 spec car. Now, these cars behave in such a different way. We heard firsthand in these first couple of races, even after drivers had testing, how hard it was to get them to get the cars to do what they wanted them to do, to kind of manage the energy management across a lap. He's got to do that with just 1 hour of practice, and he's going to nail it in qualifying. He's got to nail it through sprint quali and the second quali, and then the Grand Prix. It's going to be so tough. But I think we've got to be pragmatic about it, and Red Bull will know this, and to that extent there's no pressure on either of them really, because they can almost do no wrong, because I think Red Bull accept and Racing Bull accept it's the impossible challenge for these guys. I think what they can do though, and on Liam's side, is he can go in and show how much he's changed from the two races that he had with that team last year. A lot of the same guys and girls are here at Red Bull. They are going to see a marked difference what Liam Lawson offers right now, and I think that will be significant for him. And I think with Yuki, he can come in, and if he can show a strong turn of pace, if he can show that he can adapt really well to it. Hey, Yuki, just talking about you, actually.
Well, your ear's burning.
Say it all good things, Yuki.
Hi, everyone.
Cheers. Bye. Cheers. All right, see you later.
He needs to rest.
I don't blame you, Yuki. I think he's in the shop window. I was actually talking to him after the TV penny. He was just saying, look, this is perfect timing, because it was looking likely that he may never return to Formula One. There was chat about he might be going to IndyCar. You know, Racing Bull's already moving on to the next driver, and Nicholas Solov's waiting in the wings. Seats up and down the grid are closing. He was linked at Haas, but that was looking ropey. So I think even the fact he's got this opportunity to be back in people's faces, showing what he's capable of doing, if he does a good job, the engineers are happy and they know that he's done a good job, that kind of intel can be really helpful for him in trying to navigate a seat somewhere else on the grid.
And I think you can. I mean, it's kind of what you've been saying, but it is a win-win, isn't it? It's a win if they do a great job, and it's a win because if they don't do a great job, they can say, well, what do you expect? I've been parachuted in at the last minute. And to make matters worse for both of them, it looks like we're going to see rain at some point this weekend, and we haven't driven these cars in a competitive environment, at least, in the wet. So that's a whole nother aspect to it as well.
So I think that's the way that they'll approach the weekend, Liam and Yuki. They've got a lot Grand Prix underneath their belt. I don't think they'll be stretching for it. I think they'll be trying to be pragmatic about it, because it'll be far worse to put the car in the wall or not to get the laps in than it would be to just build your weekend gradually and show the team how professional you are. And I have no doubt that that's what both of them will do.
Do you think Arvid Lindblad, 11 Grand Prix under his belt, is a bit disappointed that they didn't look to him to go to Red Bull Racing?
Oh, I think he is, but then I think any driver would have been disappointed if they're overlooked. I'm sure Yuki is disappointed he didn't get the Red Bull shot, because he's obviously the reserve for Red Bull and Racing Bulls. But I think they were being pragmatic about it. Liam's got the most experience, so let's put the most experienced driver in the toughest car to drive in the Red Bull, and let's try to get the best out of it this weekend. And that's why I think they've put Yuki in that seat as well. So I think it kind of does make sense, but it might also show that at least you're not trying to rush it. Like, Arvid's doing a really good job this year. He's building up nicely. It's almost no point, like, throwing him in and maybe risk damaging that momentum when actually you're building up quite nicely. Alan Permain thinks he's doing a great job, his boss at Racing Bulls. I think from that perspective, this is probably the best case scenario that they've got to do it. But I'd be actually disappointed if Arvid wasn't disappointed they'd got overlooked, because obviously every racing driver wants that opportunity. But we saw with Yuki and Liam, they both wanted that shot at Red Bull, and it didn't quite work out, did it? When maybe you could argue it wasn't the right time for either of them. So let's just kind of back the fact that Red Bull and Racing Bull senior management know what they're doing, and that this makes the most sense, I think, in this particular moment.
And all this happened, ladies and gentlemen, in one day. Lawrence, you've had a busy one.
It has been a heck of a day. But honestly, Tom, these are the days that I live for. Like, when actual news is breaking, that we're chasing, we're trying to get stories, trying to understand the story behind the story. This is Formula One back with a massive bang, and it is great. But I am, like you said earlier, I'm knackered and I'm looking forward to a sleep.
Lawrence, thank you as ever very much for your time. And of course, there's more reaction to Max's new Red Bull deal at F1.com, the F1 app, and at F1 on social media. And F1 Nation's full preview of the Dutch Grand Prix is out now, with Jolyon Palmer and James Hinchcliffe joining me to discuss who can catch Kimi Antonelli in the second half of this wonderful season. That's just below this episode on the F1 Nation feed, and you can watch us on the F1 YouTube channel, so do check that out as well. And in selected countries, you can watch all the racing in Zandvoort this weekend on F1 TV and on Apple TV in the US. Thank you very much for listening. We will, of course, be back on Monday with our review of this race. So speak to you then. F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audio Boom Studios.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAP sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons. From tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond, every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
A burst pipe. A dead water heater. The AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to homeserve.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's homeserve.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price, void in Florida.